Bucks City Council meeting. It's Monday, August 8th, 2016.
Can you hear me? You have a term. Speak up, please.
City of Shoreacres, Texas. Item 1.0, call to order, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Jennings.
Present.
Alderman McCowan.
Present.
Alderman Snell.
Present.
Mayor Sanford.
Present.
Alderman Hoskins.
Present.
Alderman Bowles.
Present.
We have a quorum.
2.0, pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the state of Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Item 3.0, special presentation. 3.1, Tim Miller, Texas EquiSearch, founder and director, regarding Abigail English case. Sorry about that.
Hi, Tim Miller, founder and director, Texas EquiSearch. I just say this last week has been kind of a trying week. For me, on my end, we've been very, very busy with other cases and I've had some heart issues and then hospital last week. But anyway, since I got the first call last week, I got several other emails and several calls and kind of sat in my office one day and looked at a saying I've got on my wall. I'm sure a lot of people have heard that if I had as much time to read, let alone respond to all the criticism leveled against me, I would have to shut my doors and nothing else could be done in my office. And I kind of thought about that. I thought about Abby a lot. I know a lot of things about Abby that I can't, that I'm not going to share in this meeting. I remember the first time I got called by the school about Abby and they had their concerns. And I went to Abby's house and talked to Abby's grandmother. And then I got a little bit more concerned. I went directly to the police department. And I met with the chief and the sergeant. And every indication that was given to me by the people that supposedly loved Abby was her grandmother at that time. And Grandma did everything she could do to convince me that Abby ran away, that Abby took her backpack, that Abby took her change, that Abby took her phone. I met with the chief and the sergeant, and I said, you know what, I don't know, but something just might not look good. We may need to look into this a little bit closer. We sat down, we talked. I got with Abby's mother then. That was the first time I met her mother. This was nearly a month after Abby had disappeared. The family never reached out to EquiSearch or anybody for help. When the sergeant and the chief and I met with Abby's grandmother and mother, and they really did not want to come to the police station. I want to go somewhere. I don't know if anybody knows about me and why I started EquiSearch. It's not because I want to be on this TV. It's not because I want to do what I was doing. My own daughter disappeared. I went to the police station many, many, many times. And they said Laura was a runaway. She was never on the news. She was never in the newspaper. 17 months later, one Monday morning, we're reading the Houston Chronicle, and on the second page it said, remains of two females found in field in Lake City. And we took the newspaper, Lake City Police Department, to see if there was any chance that could be my daughter. They knew she was a runaway, and after 17 months, there still wasn't even a missing person report. So I can say, as a parent, I know what I did. I know the struggles I went through, and I know the pain I went through. I know the loneliness I went through, the helplessness. And I made a promise to God and Laura after that, I would never leave a family alone if there's anything I could ever do. I don't like being put in this position right now. When a family loves their child, they beat the doors down at the police station. I know what happened to Abby the day before she disappeared from a school bus driver that has now carried a lot of guilt for her own self because Abby shared with her. That, you know what, my grandma's always getting after me and stuff.
Close the door.
The school bus driver gave little Abby some gum. When grandma gets on your nerves, just go ahead and chew this gum and chew this gum. Don't let her get on your nerves. The school bus driver went the next morning to pick little Abby up and blew the horn on the bus, and Abby did not come out. The school bus driver called the grandmother's phone. Grandma came out and said, and the school bus driver said, "Where's my baby at?" Grandma said, "Well, she's not going to school today." "Well, why isn't she? Is she sick?" "No, she ran away." Grandma was forced, basically, into going and doing a missing person report. I know that members of the school got a hold of Grandma and Mom one day also after a couple weeks and wanted to come and check and see what was going on. And unfortunately, Grandma had a retirement party with one of her employees to go to that was more important than doing something for this little grandchild that she so much loved. When I met with the chief and the sergeant, and then we got Abby's mother and grandmother in that room, and I'm not going to get into a lot of things, but the stories just didn't seem real consistent at that time. The chief says, "How about if we go over to the bedroom and see maybe if she left a little runaway note, if there's any indication where she went?" None of us in this community knew anything about Abby. Nobody knew. Grandma's statement was, "You're not going to find anything." And we said, "Why?" "Well, I packed everything away." You know what the chief said? "You know what? Why would you pack everything away? That's pretty good indication. You know she's not coming home." This sent up some real big red flags, people. Chief and the sergeant and me went over to that house, looked in Abby's room, and there was nothing there. Said, "You know what, Chief? I think maybe we need to start a search." And he said, "How do we do it? How do we organize it?" We started the search. I went to that house that morning, and we started the search. I got with Abby's mother and grandmother, told them where the command center was, and I said, "I would like you all involved so you know what we're doing, you know how we're going to brief these people." And Grandma, again, was too busy. She had to take Abby's brother somewhere to some sporting event, I believe it was that day. And Abby's mother was down there. When I told Grandma, I said, "You know what, we're going to brief these people and we're going to let them know we're looking for this little dog leash, we're looking for the backpack." All of a sudden, Grandma said, "Oh, you know what, I found the backpack last night." Every indication that was given to anybody about little Abby was that Abby ran away. I know on my own case, I went in, I beat the door down at the police department. Families that care beat the door down. We knew nothing about Abby. I wonder where this problem started. You know, I want to say this. I heard this from President Bush's mouth in 2001 at the very first conference on exploited children in Washington, D.C. I still get choked up. And it was, "Our children only make up 25% of our population, but 100% of our future. Abby's not going to be part of our future." Where did the problem maybe start? Do you think the proper investigation was done? All Abby wanted was her family, people. Do you think the right investigation was done before they put her in that house? I wonder if maybe something should have been done then. I wonder that when she was at school 2 weeks prior to her disappearance, and she was sharing with one of her counselors at school, and I'm not going to bring up names, and she was crying, and she said, "Is this what a family is really supposed to be?" And she had some bruises on her. I wonder then if maybe that counselor should have went somewhere and seen what was going on and get an investigation. What could we have done to save Abby before this happened? There was nothing in Abby's disappearance that would have met any criteria for an Amber Alert anywhere in the form. We didn't know Abby. We didn't know anything about her except she was a troubled little child. I have been on many, many searches, people, 38 states, 18, and 38 states, 8 different countries. We have searched for many, many, many people. And there's times when we find that runaway and get them back home and say, why in the hell did they run away a year ago? Conditions that they're living in. I wonder why the citizens, Shore Acres, when they didn't see Abby walking up and down the street with her dog like she used to do, why didn't they go to the police department and beat the damn door down and say, where's this little girl? I don't want to be here. I don't want there to be another Abby. I think everything was done that could possibly be done when information started coming in and things didn't look right. What are we going to do to make sure there's not another one? Abby was in a foster care with over 300 girls that families did not want. That's only one house. How many of these little throwaway children do we have that we might be putting in the houses that they're not safe in? I'm not going to say there was foul play, by no means. Abby had some emotional problems, people. She had every right to have emotional problems with the life she lived in. All I'm asking is let her rest in peace at this moment. If there's anything that we can do to change anything, let's don't let her death be in vain. Let's make sure that next child is put in the right home. Let's make sure as citizens of the community, we can save that next child. Let's make sure we bring this community together, because there's going to be an Alzheimer's lady wander away. There's going to be another child that wanders away. I'll come back and help. But I need y'all, and that next family is going to need y'all. So let's fix the problem if there is a problem. And I don't know what the hell the problem is, except we've got a lost little girl. It's not going to be with us anymore. I'm not going to let her death be in vain. And the ground's about level, though. Go ahead and get a headstone. And I'm going to keep my promise. Going to have that little spot that she deserves. She's going to have that little headstone, and her death isn't going to be in pain. There was nothing that was done wrong in this case. Anybody, Houston, Texas alone has over 8,800 missing person cases a year. Harris County has over 4,000. We're looking at 12,000. You know what, if they went out and looked for every single one of them, they would have to get every officer off the street to do nothing except look for these missing people. And 96% of them leave on their own. There was no crime scene. There was no witness. There was no cameras. There was no indication. We had one fact. That fact was Abby's missing. And you know what? The only reason she was reported missing is because the school bus driver told you, Grandma, you better get down there and report her missing. Again, let's look at her history. Why more wasn't done to check out where she was going? Why the school, when they noticed bruises and crying, and is this what a family's supposed to be like, didn't take some action? I think some people could have taken some action, so we wouldn't have had to look for Abby. The problem ended here. It started somewhere else. And I want to thank everybody here for being involved and helping, as they did help, to find that little girl. I never had a chance in life. And that little girl needs to rest in peace. She did that little headstone. And I've not asked one thing from anybody in this community, and I won't. But you know what? I think everybody in this community needs to write a small check. And you know what? We're going to get some money together, and we're going to come up here with pictures of the headstone. This community is going to go ahead and pick out the headstone that your little girl deserves. If I had my checkbook, I'd write the first check right now. Nothing was done. Thank you.
Shall address council shall make any belligerent, personal, impertinent, redundant, slanderous, loud, threatening, abusive, or disparaging remarks, statements, or commentary towards the council, staff, or other individuals in a manner which disrupts, disturbs, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the council meeting. Nor shall any person engage in any other disorderly conduct which so disrupts, disturbs, or impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting. Council shall be held to the same standards. Nothing in this section shall prohibit or discourage orderly criticism of any city decision or policy within the limits of these rules. Any violation of this rule shall be grounds for terminating the citizen's comment period. Continued inappropriate behavior or comments after having been directed to discontinue shall be grounds for removal from the meeting.
Do we have anybody else over on this side?
Want to speak?
Thank you. Hello. Donna Woodward, 607 Battle Lawn. We need our police officers back. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is James King. I live at 808 South Country Club Drive here in Troy Acres, Texas. I'm sure there's a few of you here that know that we don't appreciate what you've done. You're here to represent us. You're here to serve us. There's been a lot of injustice done to this community. I find it extremely appalling that someone here can appeal or go through a process of wanting to veto something. The community as a whole shows up, and you don't have the dignity nor the honor to stand fast and come back here. Meanwhile, the community does. There are some of you that I'm sure are worried about if you're going to make re-election. And you have a lot to worry about. Three of you in particular. You should hold yourself to a higher standard. You ought to be really ashamed of yourself, the few of you. For those of you that have stood up and protected us as a whole, as a community, I hope that the injustices that have been done to this community will be overturned tonight. Thank you.
I've spent 30 years government, working, and I'm about to retire from this community. I hope I've lived here for 20 years. I've been appointed to a lot of boards, and I've been elected to several more, including 6 years on the LaPorte ISD School Board. I continue to volunteer. I went on a tour of our new facilities in LaPorte ISD, and I'm very proud of that school district. I can tell you a quick story. I was on that bus with the rest of the community members, and they started laughing because they knew I lived in Shore Acres, Texas, and the politics that are going on down here. That did not make me proud, I can tell you that. I'm going to tell you all what you need to do, because I've been on a lot of different boards. There's six of you, including the city manager, that needs to come to consensus on issues. You need to work together as a team. You need to stop bickering and fighting amongst each other. That's the way boards work, and that's how we get things done. We have issues in this city that need addressed, and we need this board to come together in consensus. I've done a lot of leadership training. I've done a lot of board training myself. If you want my help, I can help you. But please, try to pull this together. We can't stop endless end fighting. That's not going to help this city solve its issues. So please, try to come to consensus and start working together as a team. And that's all I have to say.
Virginia of Church Chains out of the 16th. I'm a mother of a police officer, 20 years police officer. One of the officers that has been dismissed here is the reason I don't sleep at night, because my son is a police officer. He encouraged my son as a high school student to become a police officer. And sometimes I don't like that very much, but he encouraged my son and he's become a great police officer. I understand that it is not because of him that he's totally become a police officer, but I'm glad he did. He's a fine young man with a lot of them. I don't understand why these officers were dismissed. It sounds like a bunch of bull, and putting it very politely, how I'd like to say other words that I want. I've lived here for 20 years. I'm married into a family. I love it here. Almost moved down after I, but I didn't. I thought this is going to be my home, and I continue to stay here. I wish that I could say more, but I just think it's baloney to what's going on with this board. Everybody's into their own stuff, their own power. And the things that were done with the last board meeting that I was here, I was just astonished. I myself serve on two nonprofit boards. And things that I saw at the last board, I just couldn't believe it. One of the boards that I serve on, I serve on this board because it helps people with disabilities in 38 states. And I could not believe that this board that serves this small city couldn't get their act together. And it just amazes me. And I wish you would just take a deep breath and get your act together.
Help these people in this city. Thank you. Anybody else? Hello, Doug Wilson, 227 Seagrove. First of all, I'd like to say we want our police officers back. We want our city employees back. I also want to say I've worked in management for many, many years. And what's been going on here is just ridiculous. I also want to say I have been on in the business I'm in, we got to have drug testing. Anybody that has, the way I look at it, anybody on this in this city that has responsibility to make decisions on this city, who signs paychecks, makes monetary decisions, needs to be drug tested. We need to have a drug testing program for all the city employees that can affect the people in our community. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm former Mayor Rick Mose, 3556 Pine Forest. You know, I thought about this long and hard, what to say when I came up to this podium. And I look at y'all standing there. I know there's been a lot of bickering, a lot of problems. You know, to fix your problem now, I'm not worried about what happened yesterday. It's already done. What's done is done. But each and every one of us gave an oath. And I can tell you, from being on this side, and then being on this side, it is a big job. There is a lot of problems. But at this point in time, we've had so much going on, bickering back and forth, people trying to do, you know, everybody wants to argue about it. When it comes down to it, the answers aren't in that book. They're not in that paperwork. They're right here, and they're right here. Conscious decisions as adults. I think it's time executive meeting be called. Mayor Sanford, you run the show on that. I think it's time to step up, get your team together, and get acting like a football team and get it together. Because if you don't get your program together, you talk about United, I know the rules how this all works. I was there. This is United. This is saying, please don't clap. Please don't clap. And it shakes my bones. It takes a lot for that to happen. But this is pathetic. It's nonsense. He gave an oath to help the city. This is telling you, you ain't doing it. I had never seen this many people. I'm checking in the record books. There's never been this many in the council meeting. Somewhere along the line, there's a disconnect. Step it up, folks. Don't cry about yesterday. Get in that room, shut that door, hash out the problems, fix your problems. You don't terminate people just because you may not like them or you think they did something wrong. Get the facts. Present it to these council members, and y'all vote on it. That's why we have five people. Let's please stop this. I'd rather see two people in here. They need to know what's going right. I wasn't perfect. Trust me, I had plenty on that side many a time come on me. But when you get this many people, there's a problem. We have the news media out here. When I have people that are higher people, even Senate people calling you, asking you, what's going on? You know, I didn't want to get back in politics. I'm done. I did my time. I served my city, and I appreciate it. But I love the people. I love the city. And I'll help any one of them anytime. I'll get your shirt off my back. But this has got to stop. Somewhere it's got to stop. You can think about it. You can look at me and blow it off. But sooner or later, what goes around will come around. Financially, this city, and I know, cannot sustain this. You're going to keep it up to where we're going to get ourselves a heck of a financial bind. And then what's going to happen? Then you're going to pop up all these taxes all of a sudden instead of gradually trying to get this city back to where you want it to be. That's the intentions. That's your seat now. It's y'all's seat now. Unite. Get it together. I appreciate every one of your services. You work hard. I know what it's like to be on that side. But what happened yesterday needs to stop. Call executive meeting. Get your people together. Get this thing fixed. But you better get on the same page. And if you don't want to do city politics, step down. That's up to you. Nobody's holding you. You won't get shot. Stay. I'm out. No one. It's no disgrace. But if you want to stay in this thing, and you really want to do what you said you're going to do on all these campaign promises, I prove mine. Prove yours. I didn't have a house full. Dolly didn't have a house full. Matt Weber didn't. Let's keep that going. The less people means you're doing a good job. We all make mistakes, but now it's time to move forward. Well, thank you all. But I'll tell you right here, these two gentlemen here, top shelf. So you really need to look at this really hard. What you thinking? Please do not clap. Thank you.
thing.
I'm Mike Marshall, 209 Fairfield. I have to say some good things about our police force. They've always been friendly. They take care of our families. They stop by. They make sure people are all right. The gentleman who lives across the street from me, they've taken very good care of. Give us back our police force.
Thank you.
My name is Clay Gates. I live at 519 Shore Acres. David, how you doing? Hair short. I tell you, I've lived in a lot of other places. I've lived in New Mexico, Colorado, other places. I love this city. This city has been the best city I've ever lived in my life. My neighbors are the best neighbors I've ever had, ever, ever. When Hurricane Ike happened, I've never been anything like that. I've never been around the water, the ocean. What I've seen in my neighbors, I still get choked today. And I'll tell you what, we lost our son. Chief Newman was probably one of the most articulated, wonderful people that helped us through that situation. The police force here has always been, I've never seen a better police force than what we have here. I tell people from back home how wonderful it is. I don't even take the key out of my truck here. I talk to people around me. We don't lock our doors, man. There's no crime here. When I see this with the chief, I'm like, how is that possible? This is a crimeless city I've ever lived in my life. The police force, hey, how are you? They know me personally. They know, I swear, I bet they know every person here. It's the best I've ever seen. City administrators, I mean, you know, we had an issue with something we were building in our yard, and I was out of line, I didn't know. They sent me letters. I came in. They worked with me, man, hand and foot, to make sure that I followed all the right steps, that I took care of it the right way, that we got the right permits, we did the right thing. It wasn't mean. It wasn't ugly. It was how it was supposed to be done. And my city officials, they worked with me. And I hear that they're getting canned left and right for just nothing, just out of a text message. That's not even right in a private sector. You can't just send somebody a text message and say you're fired. I think that is cowardice. I'm sorry. I don't know about you guys. It's cowardice. When I run a business. I've had my own business for 20 years. I have never sent a guy a text message, hey, bro, you're fired. Could you imagine? I think most of the people who live in this city are professional, hardworking, middle class, go to it. I think we have demographics of every race, color, creed, nation right here represented. I don't think there's one person here who would have ever could imagine getting a text message, hey, don't bother coming to work, bro. You're fired. What? It's insanity. It's insane. And out of the 10 years I've lived here, which is not long, I've met people today, 35 years, 20 years, 30 years, lifetimes right here. Lifetime people that have lived here. That's an insult. It's an insult. You know what? I haven't been to any of these council meetings since I've lived here. I've never seen any uprisings or any uproars, and I've been watching, and I'm like, fuzzy, and I'm talking to my neighbors, and I'm like, Clay, have you watched what's going on? I'm like, no, man, what the heck is this deal? My wife couldn't be here, but she said, Clay, you go. You go, you be there, you get involved, because this is our city and we love it. And I'm not going to see it. I'm going to see it turn into that. I swear to God that just is not the people that are here to represent. That's not us. That's not us, is it, people?
No,
it's not.
Thanks to speak.
It's not. We want, hey, if you had reason and you had the rights, fine. Gotcha. Lay it all out. Present your case and do the right thing. But you don't call somebody and say, here's a text message, bro, here, pack your bags. I'm sorry, man, that's wrong. And if that's how it's being run, I want something done about it. And we all do. And that's just me.
Yeah.
Yes, my name is Will Ramirez. I live at 1103 Shore Acres Boulevard. Also own two other properties in Shore Acres. He just addressed pretty well what I was thinking and wanted to say. But one thing is, we do support the police department. They do a good job. Never had any crime since I've lived here. They take care of business. They watch our city well. Second of all, I think it's very disrespectful to citizens and the council to put us in this hot oven when we had an opportunity to go to the doctor. Shot down right there.
Yeah.
You got a woman in a wheelchair. That's no respect. Yeah. As mayor, you should respect your citizens. Thank you.
Yeah, we're still here.
Okay. Keith Flack, 1312 Winley. I am a citizen of Shore Acres, not a citizen of Urinated. Thank you. And your Facebook page.
Yes, hello. My name is Corinne. I live on 204 on Bayward. I have a strange accent. I come from Belgium, and I hope everybody will understand me. When we arrived here more than 20 years ago, we were kind of scared when we saw that we had a lot of police officers, because it was a lot of people for small communities. But after 20 years, we realized that they are doing a good job, and I really like it because I feel safe here. And I really would like to know why those two got fired. It's something I ask because I really would like to have an answer on this. And also, how many more people are you going to fire? Because it gets really weird here. Eric Ingram yesterday, who did a good job to me. I mean, I see nothing wrong. So I'm really asking you to say, why? What's wrong with them? They look normal to me, and yeah, they do a good job.
My name is Linda Wingen, 3304 Sunrise. Mayor, Council, y'all are elected officials. You are elected to represent all the people in this room, all the people in this community. It's our interest that you are supposed to be taking into consideration, not your own interest. It's our interest, and you can tell by the turnout what we want. We want not all this silliness that's going on.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bo Bunker, 222 Seagrove. I won't go through every agenda item. Just any of these that's going to take away the wrongs that were created over these last 3 or 4 weeks, I'm all for them, 100%. I do want to talk a little bit about 7.10, though. I think that should also reflect on the payback, the reimbursement of the other agenda item. On the Facebook page that's private and closed and nobody can get on, you stated that the citizens are asking for this PIA, and they're adamant about it. I don't know which citizens you're talking about, because I can tell you this. These guys don't want it. They don't want the needless spending, another trip down another rabbit hole that's going to cost them money. They don't want that. They didn't ask for that. There is a message that they're sending, though, a really clear, simple message that will stop the needless spending, the wasteful spending of our taxpayer dollars, and will start this healing of the city that's desperately needed right now. If you'll hear it, it'll do it.
Taylor Messer, 513 Shady Lawn. Just want to talk about a little bit about Troy and let him know some stuff. Let y'all know some stuff you probably don't know about him. Him and his wife I've known for 20 years now. I'm 24 years old, and Troy was my baseball coach growing up, and he taught me a lot about working hard, and he's one of the most respectable men I've ever met in my life. And you know, he didn't let us slack off as a coach. He was hard on us, and where I'm at now in my life, I owe a lot to him. I feel like I've been very successful. My mom passed away from drug abuse when I was younger, and I didn't let that bring me down. I worked hard, went to Texas A&M, got my degree, just bought my first house here in Shore Acres because I knew it was protected by a police force. It was a great one. The terms that he's been terminated on, I find it very hard to believe that it's true because he was so hard on us. He never let us slip up. I mean, he's one of the most respectful people I've ever met in my life, and I feel very safe and protected by him and his crew here. So that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Go ahead.
Gary Weaver, 1311 Windley. Back in 14, I had my aunt hospice in my home and passed away in my home. Sergeant Thompson was the first one there. He took care of anything we needed. July 8th of last year, I had a propane explosion in my home. I was incapacitated. Sergeant Thompson was the first one there. He took care of everything we needed. Troy Harrison, I'm not going to tell off on how far back we go, but if there's anybody in this room that would step up and take a bullet for you, it's those two right there. I go way back with both of them. And then talking about the social media thing, I was banned from a page, but put something on there, but I want to share it with everybody so that everybody knows what former Mayor Moses was speaking of, coming together. You know, the worst mistake that a baseball umpire can make is answering heckling from the crowd. Because he's on the field where he owns that field, and he can control what goes on in that field instead of heckling back and forth with people on the outside. If this comes together as a team in your council chambers, you can stop us from clapping. This is your house. Come together as a team. What happened is gone. We can rectify it. We can't change it, but we can make it right now. And those seats should be full every time there's a meeting, because these seats are full now, because those seats hadn't been full. I thank y'all for what you do. I thank you for the time that you give. I would ask, I've sent several emails that I haven't got response from. Mr. Hoskins, you didn't ask me today. I appreciate that. I've got responses from some. Others I've not got a response from. But we need Troy and Wayne back and the Public Works Director. I think he already said enough on that. Thank you.
First-time homebuyer, as you guys know, I live alone. I've got critters, and I bought in Shore Acres because of the low crime rate, and whenever I moved in, you know, I met, you know, Harrison and Thompson and a bunch of these other, you know, officers that I'm brain farting on the names for. Now you're firing, you're letting them go, and you're wanting to bring in all these new officers that I have no idea, you know, any of their background, where they come from, you know, I'm looking at a stranger in a uniform. That is not the best feeling in the world. When, you know, not to, like, rag on, you know, Hassie or however you say your name, I'm sorry. Like, I've never, like, totally shaken your hand yet. But, you know, I see him in a Shore Acres uniform. I see him in a Shore Acres police, you know, patrol car. But whenever I'm outside, you know, whenever Harrison would pop by, you know, hey, how are you? I would get the two-second little chat with the new officers. I'm sorry. There is no communication. There is no, you know, safety blanket, there is no security that I feel, you know, that I need to have in a city that I'm going to call home for the next, you know, 40 years, give or take. So I just would really appreciate, you know, if we could have our guys back, because, like I said, this doesn't feel like home without our guys. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
One coming from my side.
Neil Moyer. I live at 1118 North Country Club Drive. And there are several items on the agenda I'd like to address. Item 7.2, my understanding, Mr. Jennings has put this on the agenda because he believes there is severe risk that because of the termination actions of our two members of the police force and now a public works director, that we may put ourselves in serious financial liabilities, and that's why this item is on here, in order for the council to take its position on taking money from the budget, from our other things, and making it available for the defense of the city in case there cases brought against the city because of wrongful terminations. Moving on to item 7.3, this is now the fourth time this item has been brought before the council. Twice, council was not able to act upon it because special meetings requirements and a veto by the mayor, even though it passed by a majority of the council. This action should be moved expeditiously tonight for final action so that the mayor's responsibilities and irresponsibility and irresponsible actions with regard to human resources and human and personnel matters can be transferred to the city administrator. With regard to item 7.5, with regard to the wrongful termination of Sergeant Thompson, the mayor's clearly exceeded the bounds of prudence. As I understand it, there is no written report from the mayor. There is a report from Police Chief Harrison on this matter, which dealt with the investigation of the matter. And quite frankly, it appears that because the mayor's had problems with Sergeant Thompson citing her for failing to have adequate vehicle registration, for having a individual arrested who had an outstanding warrant, the mayor's decided to seek retribution on the sergeant. Therefore, the sergeant should be reinstated. This mayor's action should be overturned. Item 7.6 concerns Chief Harrison. Again, same issues are at play here. The mayor doesn't seem to be able to play well with people. Her problem is that she finds that people who have challenged her, and then she acts in a high-handed, extra-legal manner. And consequently, the chief should be reinstated. Moving on to the item 7.11, dealing with the incomplete contract for waste activities, the council would be wise to decline to act on this matter or to defeat it, because you've not been provided with a complete final contract that has all the details that were originally proposed for it. I'm going to move back to item 7.7 with regard to mosquito spraying. City is ill-equipped to carry out this task. We have no licensed pesticide applicator. It's not likely that we're going to have one. Plus, we do not have any professionally trained services in this area. The county, we pay taxes to the county to do this. Precinct 2 has been more than willing to spray when city officials have called them. Furthermore, Harris County Public Health and Environmental Services has said when they find diseased mosquitoes in the city and they have traps, they will come out and spray. And that spraying has, in fact, taken place most recently on both accounts. There is no reason for the city to take up an activity for which it's ill prepared to do and which will be ineffective in any course. Thank you very much.
Good evening. Item 611.1 West Country Club Drive sewer line project. This seems to be the project that we can't quite get to completion. I did report, I believe, at the last council meeting that we had a TV inspection that was underway, or was the day after the council meeting. That TV inspection revealed some sections of pipe that still had damage at the top, with missing pipe. There's been discussion between the contractor and the city engineer. They believe that they can go ahead and do the cured in place pipe, but the final decision on that has not been made, and so I'm waiting on that determination. It's an engineering determination. Hopefully they can move forward with that. I will wrap the project up within the budgetary constraints that we've expected it. If not, then that's problematic, and then we will have to do pipe bursting and replace, or a point repair and replace that section of pipe. Any questions on that? Item 6.1.2, Shoreacres Boulevard and Westview. The paving on Shoreacres Boulevard has been repaired by the subcontractor to our contractor. Unfortunately, that contractor did it without waiting for the Harris County permit. As a result, Harris County is requiring the contractor, our contractor, to do a core sample to demonstrate that the proper base and asphalt is there. Contractor is giving a one-year warranty. That's not our street, so it's a one-year warranty to Harris County. And that negotiation has been completed with Harris County and requiring that core sample, and they'll make a determination. It may have to be redone. If so, it will not be at our expense. It will be at the subcontractor's expense for moving forward without a permit. Any costs, liabilities, penalties, fees that result from that will be borne by the subcontractor and not the City of Shoreacres. This week I've not been able to check, but I do not believe they've got the concrete work on Westview done yet, and that will be scheduled. Any questions on 6.1.2? Moving on to 6.1.3. This is probably the most serious thing on the agenda for me, and it we've had a preliminary floodplain map for quite some time now. The mayor got a letter from FEMA about a week and a half ago that they have now moved to final, and the flood map and the flood insurance study that was presented to us as preliminary will become final as it was presented to us on January 6, 2017. That will require us to update our flood protection regulations, floodplain management, and it will have a very significant impact on the City of Shoreacres. You all know we have currently four different floodplain zones with an elevation to which you have to build. Vast majority are at 12 feet, which is base flood elevation plus 1 foot of freeboard. I will tell you the new map makes some significant changes. We get an additional zone. A few folks on Miramar will get a reduction and what their elevation is, and some will even move out of the velocity zone along the waterfront. But the most shocking thing is what it does to the far west end of town. The homes on Windleaf, which is off of Bioforest, if you're on the south side of Windleaf, the base flood elevation has just increased by 5 feet on January 6th. That's to say that if your home, if you have a propane explosion and your home is 50% damaged, you will not be able to repair your home without elevating it 5 feet above where it's at today. So we have some serious things we need to address with council. I'll be bringing some, and I've talked with Mayor Pro Tem Jennings, who's been interested before we actually even got this letter, to change the regulations to require, I'm going to propose this floodplain administrator that we require all construction to be on piers, as we have done for that zone that is east of Sunrise. It's been very successful for us there with that construction, because if you have a home on Windleaf and your neighbor has a problem, has to rebuild, and they try to do it on fill on that small lot and raise that lot by 5 feet, you're compounding problems for everyone. So these are some big changes. I just want to put this on the agenda because we now know it's official. FEMA has asked for us to go ahead and adopt it even before January 6th. We can do that so that we can get ahead of construction and move in the right direction. That's all I have.
Moving on to 6.2, monthly police department report.
No, actually, we have the written report. It was prepared by Harrison. It's in your packet, and I think it's self-explanatory. We've not had any other major law enforcement issues since that written report was prepared.
Okay. 6.3, Monthly Public Works Department.
The Public Works report is also in your packet. We had a few water leaks during the last month. We had started to get back onto mowing, even though we're shorthanded there. And there have been no other significant issues in Public Works. I will mention that we recently purchased and replaced a large pump in lift station number one, which is our large plant that's on the other side of the highway by the railroad tracks. And today, a contractor was out. We had the second pump rebuilt, and that pump was in the process of being installed today, and the rails replaced inside the wet well. That's all I have.
Moving on to 7. A 7.0 business. 7.1 consideration and approval of invoices. Do we have a motion? I make a motion that we approve and pay our invoices. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Do we need to say or do you want to vote? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Consideration and action to approve ordinance number 2016-215, adopting budget limit 3 for general fund and utility fund budget of the city for fiscal year 2015-2016 to provide supplemental appropriation and/or transfer of certain funds from emergency expenditures to pay for unforeseen legal fees. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion to pass ordinance number 2016-215.
Second.
I'll second.
Seconded by Bowles. Do you want debate? Discussion? No? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So three. We have three ayes, Jennings, McCown, and Bowles. All those against?
Nay.
Two against, Snow and Hopkins, it passes 3-2.